All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Here we go tonight, the Word of God. So our first preacher tonight, and you can stay up here until she gets up and then you guys can go, so is actually Gemma Pierce. Same last name as me. That's because she's my daughter, and my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. So Gemma is our youth leader this year. She's just in the last few months has become our leader of our youth ministry. She's been part of that youth ministry for ages. She's served in church for ages. She has a great leadership gift, a great communication gift, and is a really, like, loves people with all her heart. So I want us to stand to our feet and make her really welcome as she comes to preach. Let's go.
Hello. Hey, church. How are we going? Good, good. So excited to be able to bring the Word of God tonight. Hey, before we get into it, before you take your seats, I want to take a moment to honor my parents. And, you know, I'm so thankful that you guys are our pastors and you've paved the way for so many, but I'm so grateful for you personally. And Mom, I specifically am so blessed to be led and mentored by you. I hope I grow to be the woman you are. You love deeply, you preach boldly, and you give freely, so I love you. And Dad, thank you for being a father that made it easy to understand how God loves his children. And you embody the father's love greater than anyone I know. So can we take a moment to honor my parents? Thank you. Love you guys. You can take your seat. Thank you, Ben. So good. So good. You know, a couple months ago, I was on a family holiday and we went to Byron Bay. And, you know, I don't know if you've been to Byron Bay before, but one of the great attractions of Byron Bay is its lighthouse walk. So as a family, we decided we'd go to lighthouse. We wouldn't walk, we'd just drive. We'd go to park, you know, praise the Lord. We went to this lighthouse, and me and my brother Jackson, we went inside of it, and we got a free private tour. I actually don't know how that happened. You know, the Lord's favor, I'm guessing. And what I know personally before I had this fun tour about lighthouses is that they're on a hill and they shine a light all the time. And it's basically so that boats and ships don't get wrecked because they see where the land is, right? Who's been inside an actual lighthouse before? Okay, a few of you. So this is my first time. So we met the lighthouse keeper, and he told us some fun facts that I thought I'd share with us all tonight, because why not? And in the lighthouse, so now they're all a bit more automatic and they've got technology, but back before that, they were lighthouses that were manual, so every lighthouse had a full-time lighthouse keeper. And the job of the lighthouse keeper was to make sure that the light always shone, but the source of the actual light was fire. Which I didn't know. I didn't know that the source of the lighthouse and the light was fire. And so basically, these lighthouse keepers would live in remote areas because that's where lighthouses are. And their job for 24/7 hours a day was to make sure that the fire stayed burning. And that's crazy. They did not get a day off, most of them, which they're with their families. There's normally one lighthouse keeper. They didn't get a day off at all. But the purpose of that is because if the light stopped, if the fire went out, then ships would get wrecked and people, you know, people would die. Like ships and boats of people would die. So it was such an important job of the lighthouse keeper to do and maintain their job. And otherwise, if the light got hidden, literally no more light. They were explaining it. It's impossible for the light to be hidden unless the flame goes out, right? So It reminded me of what God says about us is that we're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And I want to share from that scripture tonight in Matthew 5, verse 14. It's going to come up behind us. And this is actually my favorite scripture. I know, crazy. Like some people say favorite. This is my favorite, my fave. So let me read it to you. Matthew 5, 14 to 15, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You know, when Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, what does he mean? Because in John 9, verse 5, he says, while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. So in one scripture, Jesus is telling us he's the light of the world. And the second, he's telling us that we are the light of the world. And that's because when you're in relationship with God, because light cannot have darkness, when you're in relationship with God, Jesus lives on the inside of us. And the inside of us. So then we are now the light in this world because Jesus is the light in us. So Jesus is the source of our light, but we get to be the light to other people. It's so amazing. I want to encourage us in it tonight because light brings life. And maybe you're here tonight and you're suffering in darkness. God doesn't want that for you. God wants the opposite. He wants you to live in life, in light, in love. And a little bit later, there's going to be an opportunity where you can make a decision to begin a relationship with God. Like that lighthouse where ships will be shipwrecked if the light is hidden, if it's not connected to the fire. Similar with us, if we aren't connecting continuously with Jesus Christ, people will stay in suffering. People around us will stay in suffering. So I want to talk about three different points of how we can be the light of the world. Who's ready? Who wants to hear them? All right. The first point is plug yourself into the source of the light. You know, our source of light, Jesus, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we can change. We have a decision whether we're going to keep that light burning, whether we're going to allow our fire on the inside of us to keep going, keep ablaze. This is the best relationship you can pursue. The best relationship you can pursue, a relationship with Jesus. And let me tell you, friend, there's no days off with a relationship with Jesus. Just like the lighthouse keeper, you can't. You can't just choose one day not to have a relationship with Jesus if you want him the next day. You know, for me, when I plug myself into the source of light, it's beautiful. It's a friendship that I have with Jesus. All darkness disappears when I plug myself into the source of light. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I sit and wait. I recharge myself in Jesus, in the source of light. I often find myself just chatting in the car with Jesus. It's the greatest friendship. It's so beautiful. In a world that falls and changes, that attacks us, that persecutes us, all else fades when it comes to knowing him deeply. And prayer, worship, reading the Bible, coming to church, all very good, very important things, but they all are out of a place of relationship. So I want to encourage you here tonight, continue to go after the source of the light, which is Jesus. First and foremost, we must plug ourselves back into the source. Secondly, my second point is we need to walk in the light. Walk in the light. To be a light, because Jesus is the light, we're going and we're talking about Matthew 5:14. We can't be hidden, right? So he likens us to a city on a hilltop. To be that light, we need to walk in that light. 1 John 1, verse 5 to 7, it says, this is the message we have heard from him, from Jesus, and we declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Brutal. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So amazing. If we walk in this light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Okay, what does that mean, fellowship with one another? That means sharing our life with each other, with other believers. That means that we're opening ourselves up. That means we're actually not just having friends in church, but we're pursuing a spiritual partnership with people. And so I know for me, a few years back, I listened to a preacher and they asked this question, and it's a little bit rogue, but stay with me. They asked this question of, if you were the devil, okay, if you were the devil, what would take you out of relationship with God? Big question, because if you know what's going to take you out, then you know how to stay in, right? And so I knew in that moment for me, it was isolation. Because as soon as I'm isolated, I think dumb things and I make rash decisions. And so for me, I was like, okay, isolation. And I moved to Melbourne when I was 18 and I was in our Melbourne location. I was doing an internship there. And I remember it was awesome. I was excited. I went, it was great. And then a few months in, I just, homesick. Like you never, maybe you know what that feeling's like. And I was so homesick that people would start asking me, hey, let's hang out. No, I'm good. Like, I'm busy. I'm too busy. And they'd ask me different questions. They'd, you know, invite me to different things. And I was like, nah, I don't want to come to anything. I want to bed rot. And I remember the Holy Spirit, as gentle as he is, reminded me of this thought of isolation could take me out. And my relationship with Jesus is so much more important than sitting in my sorrow and pain and not getting out. So I made a decision that I was going to completely push in. And I just was like, okay, that's it. I'm asking every single person I know in church to hang out. And it doesn't matter if they say no, because I faced my fear of rejection because fellowship became more important to me. People said no. That's okay. That's okay if they say they don't want to hang out with you. There's other people. There's other people you can share your life with. It's not just a moment, but a lifestyle. This is what fellowship looks like. That scripture, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's a non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable. It's so simple. It looks like a meal. It looks like coffee. It looks like praying for someone. To share your life with someone, you actually need to be a little bit vulnerable. I know, kind of crazy. But you have to share your life too. You got to share your life too. You aren't going to be everything for everyone. That's okay. That's the job of Jesus. But he asks us to be in fellowship with one another. So I want to encourage you, let's do that. You know, we're plugged into the source of light. We're making a commitment that we're going to walk in the light. Then we need to start showing the light. And my third point is don't hide the light. Don't hide the light. Be the light to the unsaved people in your life. Show them who God's called you to be. 1 Peter 4 verse 2 says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. We are no longer called to be of the world. We are called to be the light of the world. And it reminds me of how Jackson in our church works at UWE, and it's one of my favorite stories. Jackson goes and he works at UWE, and Elijah comes along, and Elijah sees that, you know, Jackson works there. He's better. He's different. Jackson's got this light about him. And Elijah's in darkness, so he realizes, okay, there's something about Jackson that I want. What is that? He learns that it's the light of the world. It's Jesus. So he makes a decision. Okay, I'm going to go all in for God. I'm going to go all in for God. But maybe what we haven't said yet is Elijah goes all in for God, and who notices Dan?
his best mate, who notices, hey, there's something a little bit different about Elijah. I've seen what Elijah has been like, and he's out of this darkness, and there's a transformation because he's walking in the light. So what happens? Dan comes along. Elijah invites him along. He comes to church. Dan's on fire. So cool to see. Dude, it's amazing. Come on, can we just give some glory to God right now? It's all about a little bit of boldness. Don't hide the light requires boldness. Boldness is a spiritual thing. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives us. You know, friend, being a Christian isn't a shameful thing. It's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing at all. And, you know, we're living like this. And my question for you is, if I asked your friends, would they know that you're a Christian? If I looked at your social media, would I know that you're a Christian? If I asked your schoolmates, would I know by the way that you live if you're a Christian? And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. I'm actually saying that to encourage you that there's more. And Jesus is calling us to more. He's calling us into boldness. He's calling us to share the light. I want to take a moment to pray right now. Could we close our eyes? I believe there are many people in this room, and God's speaking to you right now. Maybe he's speaking to you about walking in the light, sharing your life with others, walking the narrow path. Maybe you're here and you need a little bit of boldness. Maybe it is hard for you to talk about your faith. Maybe you're like me a few years ago, and when people asked what I did on the weekend, I didn't tell them I went to church. No, I was scared. But in one moment, one decision, one gentle correction from the Holy Spirit, I decided anytime that question came up, I would say that I went to church. I know there's people in this place. God's speaking to you. And I want to pray with you in a moment. If that is you, if you feel God speaking to you about walking in the light, making a decision to be bold, bold in your faith, could you raise your hand right now? Awesome. I see those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd love to pray for you right now. Thank you, Father. Oh, I pray for every single person that has raised their hand. Father, I thank you that you say the godly is bold as lions. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you fill every single person with their hand raised, with your boldness, your confidence to step out, to have courageous conversations. I thank you. I thank you that as we're obedient to what you've called us to do, to be a light in this world, I thank you right now, Father, your blessing. And I thank you for those who want to walk in the light, who want to share in fellowship, who maybe feel a little bit isolated right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Would you come? Would you surround them with the right people? In the name of Jesus Christ. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, guys. It's been a privilege to be able to preach tonight, and thank you for having just letting me share tonight. So I'm going to hand back to Pastor John.
Beautiful. Oh, that was gorgeous. Thank you, Gemma, sharing from your heart and what you live and your boldness. And that's encouraging and challenging, right, for all of us to walk in the light, to not isolate so that we're walking in the light and to go to bold. What did you do on the weekend? Come on, what's your best line? What did you do on the weekend? I had the best time at church. Come on. You just gotta, if you pre-think it, it makes it a whole lot easier to kind of go, when someone says, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, it was amazing. These amazing young preachers at our church, they were whatever. Just pre-think it and it'll be awesome. That was amazing, Gemma. Thank you. Put your hands together, church. A beautiful overflow of the Holy Spirit. You can feel God as you're speaking about your relationship with Him. It oozes out. The atmosphere changes. So well done. Super proud of you. All right, next up, David Morris. So Dave and his beautiful wife, Piata, are our kids' church leaders. They do a great job leading kids' church. They've been part of our church for years. They're about to have baby number three after the next weekend, after the Christmas weekend, probably, I reckon. David also runs a killer young guys connect group. About 20-something young fellas all rock up to your place and has such a call of God on him. And we love you, Dave. So can we stand our feet and get ready to hear the word of God from David Morris. Let's go.
Thank you. Just remain standing just for a second. Jem, what an incredible word. Good job. Our youth is blessed to have you at the helm. You're doing such a good job. And Piotr and I have had the journey of watching your leadership journey flourish. You're a killer leader, man. Like, you're killing it, and you've got such an awesome team behind you, doing such a great job. So can we bless and encourage and honor Jem? He's doing such a good job. And I too want to thank Pastor John and Dan. I look at my life 7 years ago, and it looked a little bit different, and I should not be up on here on paper, but because I have leaders who love and believe and challenge and call out the best, you two are the best leaders in the world, and it's such a privilege to be in your church. I've been here 17 years, and these guys have been killing it the entire time I've been here. It's been such a privilege to be in your church for most of my life. So love you. Can we bless Pastor John and Dan and thank them? They're amazing. All right, you can be seated. If there's water on the ground, it's just because I didn't get a chance to do a nervous wee. The band knows it's... actually, I'm not even going to say that. Wow. All right. Little bit about me. I'm a big fan of Aldi. Any Aldi shoppers in the room? You've known me long enough, you know I'm an Aldi fan. And I used to work at Aldi. This one particular day comes to mind, and I was... I didn't have my morning quiet time. I was praying in the chair. You know how, like, the Aldi checkout people, they sit on the chair and... Beep, 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 beep. Well, I was that guy. But I forgot to pray, so I'm sitting and I'm praying while I'm serving this lady. And, you know, just usually you'd come in prepped, but I was just sitting mindlessly serving this person. And I'm praying. I'm like, God, just help me today. I don't know what I'm doing today. Just help me, be with me. And then I get to the last item and I say, yeah, that's just $73.55 in Jesus' name. And she's like, pardon? That's just $73.55, ma'am. And I wanted to die. I did. I wanted to be a puddle on the floor. That was not part of the plan. Let me tell you right now, that was not part of God's plan for my life. But I love the theme of talking about soul winning and inviting people to church for next weekend. What a great time to be in the house of God. And the title of my message tonight is My Part in God's Plan. That wasn't it. We're going to be looking at John 4. Pastor John preached an amazing message this morning and he covered a heap of this. But I want to be a little bit of a nerd. So we're going to read from John 4, verse 3 to 4. Pop up on the screen behind me. It says this, he left, this is Jesus, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Everybody say, but he needed to. But he needed to. Okay, so what's going on here? So Jesus has just finished doing some ministry in Judea. And if you read John 3, it's like the pinnacle scripture of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And then this is the next thing. So Jesus is on his way from Judea to Galilee. And usually what they would do is they would go around the region of Samaria. So like if geographically, if you look at it, as the crow flies, you might as well walk through Samaria. But because Jesus was a Jew, the Jews and the Samaritans had some religious strife, and that's just not what they would do. So they would walk around Samaria so they could avoid the Samaritans. But Jesus had this moment, a but he needed to moment. And it comes from the Greek word ede. Everybody say ede. Ede. Ede means a divine necessity, to be compelled or for this to be necessary. It's basically, Jesus used this word a number of times and it was his way of saying, this is my part in God's plan. So what's God's plan? Well, his plan is for you and I to spend eternity with him. It's for your mum, your dad, your sister, your cousin, your work colleague, the checkout chick, to spend eternity in heaven. And if you're in the room tonight and you don't even know what that looks like, you haven't met Jesus, as Gemma said, there is definitely going to be an opportunity. I'd love to lead you in a prayer at the end of the service to do that. We know that after this, Jesus went and met the Samaritan woman at the well. Her life was transformed. She put her faith in Jesus, ran back to her village and her region, and the whole of Samaria went into revival because of one encounter, because of one unnatural walk. Where Jesus would usually go this way, he felt to go this way. And so we're going to look at how we can do that in our own life. So Matthew 22, verse 37. This is our part in God's plan. This is the greatest commandment that Jesus told us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then it goes on in verse 39, it says, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. So we see here, our role on this earth is to pray, intimacy and connection with God. It's to be connected with people, to love your neighbor as yourself. And as we learned last week from Isaac Sansom's brilliant message, God's love language is obedience. So we combine the three and that's our call. That's the call on our life. I remember recently that I was in a morning prayer meeting and I just finished up. Got into work and our organization was going through some pretty tough stuff and I'm one of the managers there, so a lot of the attention was pointed our direction and I was sat on the computer and a work colleague was next to me who really didn't want a bar of soap from me and I just wanted, to be honest, not a bar of soap from her either. And I just got out of this prayer meeting and I felt God say to me, I want you to tell her that you respect her. And I was like, I would rather not say that. I did respect her, but I didn't want her to know that. And but this nudge, like usually where I would just walk around that, you know, like it's all good, she knows, it's all good. I felt the ede moment come over me. This is the way I have to go. So I sat there and I just, you know when you pretend to work and your heart starts pounding and you start, oh yeah, I'm just working away here. I just kept doing that and I said, Son, I respect you. I just want you to know that I respect you and I see what you do here. And she said nothing. It was awkward. And then I just heard tears, like she was crying. She started to cry. And I looked over and I said, are you okay? And she said, Dave, you have no idea how much I needed that. I don't feel like anybody respects me. And all of a sudden, this tension that was in the air, she began to open up and tell me about her family problems and all this stuff going in her world. And I didn't pray for her in the moment, but I told her that I would be praying for her. And that moment changed everything in our working relationship from one ede moment. Everybody say ede. There's an ede moment coming for you too. So we're going to look at how you can experience the same thing. My first point for tonight is to connect with the Holy Spirit. Be a person of prayer, man. You're in the best place. This is a house of prayer. I'd encourage you to come to our prayer meetings if you don't know what that looks like, because you're going to learn so much. Acts 4 verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness." And then Psalm 23 verse 5 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." And prayer is the training room where you and I get to prepare for God's mission, to prepare for our part in God's mission. God's given you a specific mission, but that mission is to fulfill His mission. And prayer is the training room where you and I get to learn how to do that. But just practically, how do you do that? Well, we believe that we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit where we can speak in tongues. So many scriptures that point to how powerful this is, that you get clothed in the power of God, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to hone in on praying for specific moments. Ask God. Coming into the Christmas weekend, ask God for an Ede moment. Ask God for, "God, what's my part to play in your plan? If your plan is to see my family come to Jesus, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that." In Isaiah, it says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Be that person in prayer that looks to God and says, "Here I am, send me." Point number two, connect with people. I think I stole your notes, Jem. Sorry about that. Are you intentionally in connection with others? That point of isolation, so real, so big for many of us, for me in my life. You know, we came out of COVID and I don't think we really... Oh, I just said the C word, sorry. We came out of that and I think we lost a bit of true connection. What did it look like to sit around a bonfire with your unsaved friends? Have you done that in a minute? Who were you connected with that you're no longer, that God's calling you to go back and reach those people? It could be your work colleagues. It could be your family. It could be the stranger at the shops. I don't know. Your hands might start sweating when you get served by the checkout chick. And it might not be because they're attractive. It might be because God's calling you to have a conversation with them. Point number three. Step out in obedience. You may be full of God. You may be connected with people. But if you're not obedient, I won't say it was all for nothing, but we won't see God's plan fulfilled unless we're obedient. When you get into that moment, there's been so many moments where I've encountered this, what I now see as an Ede moment, and just the fear that can come over you. I remember one time, I like flipping things on Marketplace, Gumtree. It's just a nice little, it's fun, honestly, but it makes me a bit of a side income. And one particular time, I saw this guitar gear up for sale, and it was in Utilo, and I knew that the devil was there. If you live in Utilo, I'm praying for you. So I went to Utilo and I went to this house and I drove up and the lawn wasn't cut and a dog was barking. It was a big dog, short-haired, big muscles, bigger than me, you know the one. And so I walked up to it hesitantly and I just stood like 5 meters away from the fence and I was like, "Hey bro, I'm here." Anyway, he comes out, he opens the gate, the dog comes running at me and literally bites me. Like, not enough, but it bit me. It didn't draw... Why are you clapping? It didn't draw skin. But, you know, my fear was validated. I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm staying because it's a good bargain. So I went inside and I looked at the gear. It was all sweet. It smelt really bad. And I looked at the guy and I felt the Holy Spirit come over me and say, "I want you to tell him that God loves him." And I'm like, "Here's your $400. Bro, this is kind of weird, but I just felt to tell you that God loves you." And he's like looking at me like, and I said, "Would it be okay if I prayed for you?" And he was like, "Absolutely not. No, no, thank you." Took the money and I was like, "Nah, that's all cool. All good. Thank you. I'm out. Take my gear." And so I got into my car and I drove off and I was like, God, what was that all about? Like, for real, what was that all about? I felt your Holy Spirit come over me. I was like definitely afraid, but I knew you were with me. And he just straight up said no. There was no interaction. I'm driving home and I'm like just praying and going, God, it's all good. I know you're for me. I know you're not against me. I get this text and he's like, hey, bro, I'm really sorry. I should have said yes to prayer. I used to go to church when I was a kid and I have so much childhood trauma. I want nothing to do with Christians, but I should have said yes to prayer and I'm really sorry. What? What? And I realized in that moment that God doesn't require anything else of me than my obedience. That it doesn't make sense in the moment. Just like it didn't make sense for Jesus to go through Samaria. Culturally, context of the times, it didn't make sense for him to do that. All the Jews would go this way. It did not make sense for me to ask this guy if I could pray for him when he clearly didn't want it. But God had a plan. And that was my part in God's plan. It didn't make sense at the time. And often these Ede moments are going to come your way and it's not going to feel like it makes sense. Can I tell you, it almost never makes sense. It's like I'm standing at the registers and I see this person. I'm like, I just need to buy my groceries from you. You didn't ask for this, but could I like bless you? Or could I like pray for you? I don't know what God's going to do in your life, but you're going to have a moment. And I believe that you're going to have a moment this week. We're going to pray for it very, very soon. So if you're connected with the Holy Spirit, be a person of prayer. If you're connected with people, be intentional about connecting with those around you. For me, it's through my marketplace stuff. Honestly, I talk to so many people about Jesus through that one thing. Maybe for you, it's just stepping out in obedience. Maybe you're good at the first two, but you're held back at that stage of obedience. Maybe this is all new for you. You know what? You have the benefit of social media. You don't even need to, quote unquote, embarrass yourself. Send a friend a message. Hey, send them the flyer. Fake account. Make a fake Facebook account. Send them a flyer. I don't know. Do something. Do something. And then you'll realize it's actually not that hard. God moves in our obedience. If you do this often, if this is something that you're passionate about, can I encourage you every day you wake up this week, ask God for an Ede moment. Ask God for something, a prompting that's not your normal course of direction in a day. And ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you. I know it's going to happen this week. I felt it in prayer today, throughout this week. We are all going to have Ede moments where God says, this is my part. This is your part in my plan. All right. Will you guys stand to your feet? Who's ready to have an Ede moment this week? Why don't you just lift out your hands in front of you?